God has brought us to this point, brought us through, as it were. And as we grow older, even during this temporal lifespan, often we will look back and see God's involvement more clearly than we do going through the situation. I love, don't want to embarrass Nadine, but 2 Corinthians 1:4 says about that we can comfort others with the comfort that we have received. And as I talked with her about Beth Roberts, and Wanda got to go and see with Beth and pray with her after her husband passed, was killed in that accident. I was talking to Nadine, I'm having trouble speaking. And so they planned to go and see Beth. I said, you know, you might want to wait a month or two or whatnot. Because there's a bunch of hullabaloo, right, when someone passes, especially any time, but especially in an accident like that. But then the loved ones, the family that missed that person at their table, day after day after day, they need continuing care and support. What a blessing that is. I said to Nadine, I never apologize for the word of God, but I hadn't lost my spouse. I don't want to, and neither did Nadine, and neither did Beth Roberts, but God has allowed that in our lives. And Nadine can be a different blessing than I can be in this situation. I'm glad that she's willing to do that. So stop and think about the things in our lives. I think about that sometimes, you know, when my grandmother died, I don't know that she was saved. But why does God allow death? Well, yes, dummy, because we're all sinners. Yes, the wages of sin is death. But funerals are fraught with opportunity. And this recent college graduate, as I looked at my grandmother who lived with us all of her life, and I won't go into that story, was like a second mother to me, and I looked at that dead body and I said, Lord, I need to know what happens. Where is she? And God uses that kind of thing to get us right up personal with the fact and the reality of death. Life doesn't just keep going on, this temporal realm. And God is not mean. I remember reading that verse, and I keep repeating myself, it is better to go to the house of mourning than the house of mirth. It's true. Folks are going to the house of mourning today, and life celebration is great. I'm all for it. But not at the expense of not confronting and dealing with death scripturally. So the events in our lives, by faith, as God allows events in our lives, we thank him. I had the opportunity this week to thank him for something I wouldn't have chosen. How about you? We probably all have. That's what I'm talking about struggling. It's like, thank you, Lord, for this. Without being sarcastic, I struggle with that. Sometimes I thank him, but I'm sarcastic, so now I have to deal with that. There's always more, isn't there? You know, we like that with a little children. It's like, you can do anything you set your heart to, and looking to see their growth and just excited about all they can do. But us, when we get older, it's like, okay, I've grown enough spiritually. Can I just chill? Till we get to heaven, there's more opportunity. And just like we love to see the change in the physical growth that we can see so readily as a principal, the kids, I wouldn't see them from May, June, then they come back in August. And one time, I think, I don't want to exaggerate, my wife's in junior church, I think 3 inches, one fella grew. I was like, what in the world? Sometimes older folks, we greet folks and say, well, you haven't changed a bit. I'm like, liar. We may not see it, but they are changing. It's just more evident. Such a blessing to see new babies and things like that. What a great blessing. But things are changing always. But God doesn't change. And his word doesn't change. That fancy word, he is immutable. So how has God led us to this point? As we grow older, we look back, perhaps see God's involvement more clearly, maybe even see some fruit, some things that never would have happened, but they happened as a result of him allowing circumstances, difficulties in our lives that we would not have picked. We even see some of that, but boy, when we get to heaven, wow. So let that truth encourage us to live faithfully today. These things understood not his disciples at the first. We're in good company. They walked with the incarnate Christ. It's not bad to go to God and say, Lord, I do not understand. So by faith, I thank you for this. And I know that Romans 8:28 is true, and I'm going to just repeat that to you, Lord, and I'm just going to repeat Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 as well. But when Jesus was glorified, Then remembered they that these things, they were written of him. What a precious treasure. And that they had done these things unto him. Sometimes as a parent, as a grandparent, as a pastor, as a worker, whatever, employer, you have to correct folks, and you seek to do it as Jesus does, with love. And I like to, I can't give you the reference, but there's definitely at least two places in Scripture where it says, when you're correcting someone else, do know that you've done the same thing. I like to always say that when I seek to correct folks. I'm no better than you are. But it's the loving God who corrects us, the one who's never sinned at all. So, number 10 on the handout, if we don't get anywhere else, rejoice. Rejoice by remembering what is written about Jesus. Stick with a book. This is God's book. God's word, God's words. We want to be biblicists. We want to be thoroughly biblical, nothing more and nothing less. Rejoice by remembering what is written about Jesus. You can't remember what is written in God's word if you first don't read it, meditate upon it, study it, memorize it, all those things. I want to give an example. Today's been a little bit, my wife knows. She can tell, even though we haven't maybe spent maybe 10 words today together. But she knows I'm a little, she gets excited when I'm a little off. But I get nervous. I like to have things scripted out, planned, and led in the Spirit of God. But I just thought I'd read to you, Pastor Josh, close your ears. So he preached a message, I think it was, February 14th, on love. And I love to sit under the preaching of other folks. And so that has been a great blessing since Pastor Josh is here. And during that time, he probably regrets it, but y'all know what a love language is? What speaks love to you speaks different, you know, men are from Mars and whatever type thing like that. But during that time, Josh said, somehow, he said, my love language, or one of them, is words of affirmation. So being the good doobie I am, I'm like, aha, action items. Pastor Tom, when you meet with Pastor Josh, give him words of affirmation. Do you like, probably everybody likes words of affirmation, right? And I share with him, I said, well, that's one of mine too. My wife gets tired of it. Okay, what did I do wrong? How was the message? Did I make mistakes? How many times did I say, duh? She's good at critiquing me. That's good. But you know, it's really good. What speaks love to folks? Find out that everybody's not like you. But anyway, along those lines, today as I wrote down something to praise God about, I put this, I praise you for your word. The Bible is full of words of affirmation. Full of the promise of God. And that's my love language. And I wrote this to the Lord, your word affirms the truth about me. You tell me the hard truth about myself. I'm saved by the grace of God, but it's all because of Jesus, and I haven't arrived. There's not one category of my life that I don't still struggle about. I've got this. Oh, right, yeah. Well, if you say that, maybe you are in for a fall. How about it? I put this, your word affirms the truth about me, the bad news, but also your word affirms the truth about you, the good news. I praise you that you are love, and I thank you that you love me. And then the rest I won't share with you. Our example, Jesus. He lived and worked with these disciples. And they didn't get it. I hope not to be perverted, but I hope that encourages you. They had room to grow. But what a difference the resurrection made. Wow, how their lives changed. Rejoice in the Lord always, God says. Jesus triumphed every day of his incarnate life. And Jesus triumphs every day for all of eternity. Do you remember Jesus? And I remember when I was first saved and read that the Spirit of God led him out to be tempted of the devil. It's like, oh, really? Get your arms around that one. The Spirit of God led you into this circumstance, this trial, this difficulty, this thing that you wouldn't choose. And how did Jesus respond every time to the devil? It is written. It is written. It is written. May I encourage you with that. It is written. It is written. It is written. Seek to grow in the habit of, if you're like me, I need to write it down. I forget what I had for lunch yesterday. I need to write it down so often. You know, be selfish about your time in the Word of God. Sit down with it, and it's like, this is God's Word. This is me. There's God. The Spirit of God indwells me, and God has something to tell me today. And no offense, but I want to get it. Is it an encouragement? Is it comfort? Is it a reminder? Is it a rebuke? Is it something I need to fix? Well, thank God, because if I keep on in the wrong way, it's going to have its consequences. What is it? And get it for yourself. Be selfish at first, and then see as you pray, Lord, I'd love to share this with someone. How many times? Boy, Pastor, you really get that. People kind of expect you to share the Scripture. That's a good thing to be known for. How about it? I like to not tell folks I'm a pastor. I like to tell folks I'm a Christian. Can I pray with you? Can I share what God's speaking to my heart about today? Stick with the book. Love language, words of affirmation. I love you. Let me just, wow, way too much here. Can't preach on this next week. Got to preach on the resurrection next week. It's okay. I hope you can come Wednesday. I don't know what it'll be like, but Wednesday night, our first in-person prayer meeting, really having the Lord's Supper. I don't think I've ever done that here since I've been here. It was Pastor Josh's idea from a fellow who did it before, and I said, wow, that's a neat idea. Let's think about the death of Jesus Christ, the cross before the crown. Certainly appropriate to celebrate the resurrection, but let's not forget the cost. Let's not forget the perfection of our God, our Savior, who suffered immensely physically and beyond that infinitely spiritually because of my sin and yours. Let me just go through. There's a word bank. See, I learned that's from when I was away, and the pastor when I was in South Dakota had a word bank, and I thought, oh, that's a good idea. So number one, I'll just give them to you. Rejoice, Jesus is the Passover Lamb of God. I think it's amazing. The Passover, they're in there for the feast, and they're getting these lambs, you know, and Jesus goes pretty soon and cleanses the temple during this week and all that kind of thing because they're making money on the lambs that are supposed to be showing forth the Lamb of God who's right there in their midst. It would be humorous if it wasn't so sad that they were going through their religion, their legalism, if you will. And people were using religion to make money and rake others over the coals. How sad. Rejoice. Jesus is the Passover Lamb of God. John 1:29, first message I ever preach, John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God, when he saw the incarnate Christ, which taketh away the sin of the world. Number two, rejoice, Jesus. His name means salvation. Jesus is salvation. He is all worthy of our worship, and it's our privilege to worship him in spirit and in truth today. Number three, you think about wrong expectations. So here's a challenge. Rejoice. Jesus always has perfect timing. I don't. Neither do you. And also perfectly fulfills expectations that are what? Given to us by the commercials? Given by that person on the other end of the text or whatnot? Maybe sometimes. How about this? Rejoice, Jesus always has perfect timing and also perfectly fulfills expectations that are founded in God's word. This, I'll brag on my grandson. Did I share this with you already? This is a good thing. With Sammy yesterday, I already talked about, I was out messing with frogs and a fish. Never mind. You can ask me later about that. But anyway, I should say, yeah, fish and frogs. And he was helping me, and he wanted me to look at something that was the crocus story. But as I was talking about that, my wife has this little pond thing that got a hole in it. So I replaced it for her. Points. Okay, So Adam comes over and he says, "Wow, thanks for putting a little swimming pool for me, Grandpa. But I was with those things you have to dig out, and then you have to put dirt under it to make sure when you put in the water that doesn't go, you know, here's Mac, Tom put in this pond, you know." So I'm doing that, and there's Sammy, not quite really helpful yet, but trying to spend time with him, and I'm on my belly and have some dirt and pushing it under that and trying to get it under and stuff like that. And I said, "This reminds me of a story in the Bible." And he said, "Yeah, the one about, there's a song about that." And he started singing about the wise man. And I said, "Praise God." He might not be old enough to really be a real help to me doing something like that, but the word of God is taking root in his life. I don't know about you, but I love kids. Don't you love kids? Just, they're great. They say the craziest things. They do the craziest things. They remind me of me. In any event, founded on God's word, expectations that are found on God's word. Is the foundation of your life God and his word? Is the foundation of your day, whenever it starts, God and his word? Sometimes, you know, life happens and we get involved or we get out of a habit, and sometimes the habit, even reading God's word, can be a rut, but then we sometimes have a holy desperation. I just got to meet with God. I've just got to talk to God. I've just got to listen to God. I've just got to sing his praises. This week, one day, I was just weeping because of sin that I confessed and that he forgave. But sometimes we weep because of joy. Number four, rejoice. Jesus is the King of Israel and the King of all kings. I prayed for President Biden and President Kamala. I mean, Vice President Kamala. Oh, that was terrible. I am so sorry. How about this one? Number five, rejoice. Jesus is the living word of God, who exactly and completely fulfills the written word of God. Or I could put it this way, turn your eyes to Jesus. Amen. Number six, Sunday school, those that were in Sunday school, rejoice. Jesus is the key to peace, which comes when you become his child. It doesn't mean this life doesn't have any difficulties. There's so much to share under each and every one of these, but I think I'm just going to give you them and get to the last one. Number seven, this was sung about in at least two times today. Rejoice, Jesus removes all fear of judgment for the Christian sins. The sins of the whole world have been paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ, but the Christian who has received Christ as Savior, that gift, that payment, has been received. And therefore, we are not judged for our sins because he received the judgment that you and I deserved on the cross of Calvary, and he paid for it in full with the inestimable value of his lifeblood. Rejoice, Jesus removes all fear of judgment for the Christian sins. Number eight, rejoice, Jesus is the perfect leader who we have the privilege and opportunity to follow. You got a problem? Fill in the blank today. We all do. Draw close to Jesus. He knows. He wants to lead. Just like salvation, he won't force. Ask him. Get so desperate sometimes that you'll fast. Say, "God, I'm going to skip a meal, not to blow my own horn or tell anybody else, but Lord, I just like to spend some extra time, and I'm asking you, Father, help me. I'm not sure what to do." Number nine, rejoice. Jesus has been glorified and will return to take his children to glory. Amen to that. Number 10 on the back, rejoice by remembering what is written about Jesus. We have the completed word of God. How's it going with our reading, with our study of it? How's it going with teaching the kids by our life and also lip? Oh, all I had to do is sit down with them and they'll teach you something as well. What a blessing they are. Then number 11, rejoice. Jesus gives us opportunities to tell others that he is all sufficient to meet all their needs. Wow. So much here. Let me see if I can take a few moments here. Yes. Verse 17, the people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave. Can you, I preach through that, just amazing to think about that. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave. I think they knew about Jesus and something about supernatural power. And raised him from the dead, bear record. What'd they do? They witnessed. For this cause, the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The people there, the folks who witnessed Jesus when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised from the dead, bear record of the miracle they witnessed. They told about Jesus and the miracle he did. And because of that, for this cause, other people also met Jesus. No offense, we made great use of March Madness. I don't know if I put it on March Miracles or March Magnificence, I guess I put. Nothing wrong with sports. You can use them a lot for God's glory and character training and all that kind of thing. But why is it so easy to talk about sports or weather or whatnot and not about Jesus? I'll tell you why, because there's spiritual warfare against it. Ah, the devil's out there. Lord, maybe not be ashamed of Jesus. Maybe be prayed up. Maybe walking in the Spirit so we know and have peace. This is not the time to speak. But maybe also have peace about this is the time to speak. Spirit-led, Spirit-empowered, living and telling of Jesus Christ. Show and tell. Great example for us to tell others about Jesus. Number 11, rejoice. Jesus gives us opportunities to tell others that he is all sufficient to meet all their needs. Do you believe that? Wow. So much here. I'm going to skip over that. Let's turn to the book of Revelation 19 to finish up today. Revelation 19. I do not want to rush through this, so Revelation 19. And we'll begin at verse 11 here in just a moment. You think about the triumphal entry, you think about all that was going on there on that day. You think about Jerusalem, you think about the temple, you think about those that were there for the Passover, those that lived there, the Pharisees, religious rulers, and all this kind of thing. And the Pharisees were quite sure that Jesus had won the day. And he had, just not how they were thinking. They were probably anticipating some general revolt during the Passover season. They were on guard. Perhaps Jesus would perform a great miracle and that way capture the minds and hearts of these restless people. How little, and I say this as best as I can with love, these religious zealots, and we still have them today, good people, religious people, how little these Pharisees really understood the mind and heart of Jesus. What they did not realize was that Jesus was in a way forcing their hand, orchestrating, showing forth yet again specifically the sovereignty of God so that the Sanhedrin would act during the feast of the Passover, all the way back from Exodus, take a lamb, a spotless lamb, do this every year. What for? To remind your children of what happened and the death angel passed over. And here we have kaboom, the fulfillment of all of that. Jesus was forcing their hands so that the Sanhedrin would act during the feast. The Lamb of God had to give his life when the Passover lambs, the animals, were being slain. We've been given dominion over animals, but we're not to worship them. Jesus is not an animal. He is the Passover lamb. The next time Israel sees the king, the scene will be radically different. He will come in glory, not on a donkey, not in that kind of humility. The armies of heaven will accompany him. It will be just as sure as the prophecy of Zechariah we look back on as it being fulfilled. It will be fulfilled. The Trump could happen today, and then we've got all the rest of the things to go through, but it will be a scene of victory as he comes to defeat his enemies and establish his kingdom. There will be an eternally lasting, triumphal entry of Jesus Christ one day. Number 12, rejoice. Jesus will one day put down all of his enemies. Revelation 19, beginning at verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, Sunday school, remember the Roman conqueror picture I showed? And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. A lot of those, and I truly mean from our perspective, good people, religious people, will so talk about the love of God, but it's a perversion of what true love is. Jesus is true love. He is perfect love. He is perfect justice. And most of those folks just rip things like the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God out of God's word. It's kind of like taking your battery out of your car and chopping it in half and just putting the positive side in. It's not gonna work. It's not right. Probably a poor illustration. Verse 16, he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Rejoice, Jesus will one day put down all of his enemies. Could I end with this? Rejoice, because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Rejoice, because it is not God's time, could be today, to hear the trump. So rejoice, because we still have opportunity to grow in Christ-likeness, not preeminently for us, but preeminently for Jesus Christ and then for others who need to see Christ in us and then need to hear his word, because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Today you are here. Here is another Passover season. The death angel passes over because of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, the Christ. If you're not sure that you're saved, 1 John 5:13, God wants you to know some things. These things have I written. You can know that you're going to heaven when you die. If you're not sure about that, feel free to talk to any of us anytime at all. And as Christians, let's of all weeks take time this week to be still, to know that God is God, to worship him in spirit and truth. I know we want to do that on Sunday. I know we're busy during the week and stuff like that, but to seek to walk in the spirit more and more. Be ready always with an answer to them that would ask us of the reason, the hope that is in us, with meekness and godly fear. Let's stand together, and appropriately enough, I believe, let's turn to number 639. If there's a need on your heart, you want counsel for, either now as we sing or afterwards, just stop in and see one of us. 639, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Let's sing on all three verses.